We're holding on Ayin Ches on the days by the Mishnah at the bottom. Okay, continuing with the dinim of the Torah, we said in the previous Mishnah that the lechem of the Torah becomes kadosh rish laguf, that is, only when the Torah is shechted, and therefore we said if it was outside the wall, whatever the wall meant, according to Rabbi Yochanan versus the Shlakish, or if they weren't baked to the point that they can be considered lechem yet, then they don't become kadosh. So now more dinim on the subject.
One condition only.
Two conditions. It has to be inside the chayma, whichever chayma we're talking about, and it has to be baked.
Right. And one can make them possible if they're not baked.
No. So we said both. If they're outside the wall, or if they're not baked, right, then they're not possible, but right, they don't become kaddish. In other words, the korban right, as a whole. Yes. Right. Okay. So the Mishnah says, shachta chutzlus mana b'chutzlum chayma. If the korban, the animal itself, was shechted with the thought of chutzlus mana, which would make it kibul, or chutzlum chayma, which would make it possible, kaddish halachem, nevertheless, lechem becomes kaddish. It becomes kibul, but it has kaddishus haguf. Because, as we're going to see in the Gemara, the idea is basically because the psul happened only after, the psul happened by psul by kodesh. And we learned from Zvachim about the distinction between psulim that happened before the thing was in the kodesh versus afterwards. But we had actually in a float with Rashi and Tosfos what psul by kodesh versus psul by kodesh means. Doesn't mean where it happened, doesn't mean something that's relevant to kodesh versus something that's relevant outside of this mikdash. Whatever it is, here it became possible only after it was shechted, only as it's being shechted, or one of the other avodas is done. Therefore, that's enough to be mekadesh the bread, and of course, the bread becomes possible, the pigle, along with the carbon.
We find it before it's shechted, it's possible.
Well, in other words, if it's still what happened before it was shechted, right? Shocht of a nymphus trefa, next state, so if we shecht the animal and it turns out that it's trefa, well, then it was trefa beforehand, so it was possible before the shechta. Therefore, like kodesh alechem, therefore the bread doesn't become kodesh.
Never became kodesh,
right? Shocht of a nymphus balas mum, what happens if you shecht the animal and it turns out to be a balas mum? Rabbi Yezza, I'm a kiddush, by the way, balas mum, because, a toda can be either a male or a female animal, but more typically people would use female animals for a shlomim or a toda because you can. Male animals can be used for oilus or an osham, so therefore people, if they had a male animal, would tend to save it for those purposes, and a female would be what they'd usually use for a shlomim or a toda, therefore balas mum. So Rabbi Yezza and the Kiddush, Vachamim like Kiddush, Rabbi Yezza says, even though the animal was found to be a Baal Mum, nevertheless, the Shechita of it was enough to be Mekadish the bread, for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara. And the Chachamim say, which we'll see in the Gemara, that the Chachamim here means Rabbi Yeshua, say Loi Kiddush, that no, it wasn't Mekadish the bread, because again, it still existed before the Shechita. Okay? Shechta Shaloi Lishma, what happens if he shechted the animal Shaloi Lishma, which we learned in Zvachim, the Korban is kosher, it just doesn't count for the owner's five.
Any korban.
Well, most korbanos, except for a chatas and a pesach, and a sin of Rabbi Yezza, also an osham. Okay. So, b'chein elam miluim, and the same din would apply to the ram that was brought as part of the miluim in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, that if it had been shechted shalai l'shma, where also we learned in the previous Mishnah, two Mishnayos ago, that the miluim were also accompanied by bread, to say three of the same types of bread as the Torah. And some... We had Rebucho, Rikikin, and Chalas, right? All the three types of masa. V'chein shnei kibzat teres shachtam shalai l'shmon. Or similarly, the two sheep for the Shalmei Tzibur of Shavuot, which are accompanied by the shtei alachem. We're also shachtam shalai l'shmon. Those also, in any of those three cases, if he shechted them shalai l'shmon, loy kodesh alachem, then the bread does not become kodesh. Now, there's actually a fourth case, where you have three cases. The three cases are the Toda, the ram of the Milurim, and the Kibsei Aseres. The Gemara is going to ask that you have a fourth case. You have the ram of the Nazir, the Shlomim of the Nazir, which is also, we learned two Mishnayos ago, is accompanied by bread. Why isn't the Mishnah listing that? We'll get to that. Okay. So, the Gemara starts off, Masnitin Mani Reb Meir. Which Tana does our Mishnah go like? It goes like Reb Meir. Namely, this that we said in the Mishnah, So again, let's review what we said in the Mishnah. Chutzlus mano, chutzlum akoyma, the bread is kaddish. Trefa, it's not kaddish. Balas mum, we had a machloek with Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. That is Rabbi Meir's version of the machloekus. Rabbi Yehuda has a different version of how the machloekus went. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braita, like this. Zerachwal, Rabbi Meir says this is a general rule. Tol shepsul ekodim shchita, in any case where the psul existed before the animal was shechted, loy kodesh alechem, then therefore the bread does not become kodesh, because it only becomes kodesh when the shchita was done, and up to the point of the shchita it was kosher. So like after shchita, if the korban became potel only after it was shed, during or after the shchita, kodesh alechem, then the bread becomes kodesh.
Psuloi
after shchita.
Is it yud?
Yeah, psuloi, psuloi, whatever, it's the same thing. After shchita, kodesh alechem. So let's analyze. So let's break that down. Says Rav Meir, shach the chutzos manav. We're talking about point. No, we're talking first second ones that have made. So therefore, like this, shach the chutzos manav a chutzos mekayma. So if you shach the animal with a thought of chutzos manav or chutzos mekayma, so it was kosher up until the shchita. It only became kosher during the shchita because he made it pivotal with kosher kadosh alachem, and the bread becomes kadosh, which is what our Mishnah says. If you shech the animal and it turns out to be trefa, loy kadosh alechem, and the bread is not kadosh because it was trefa before it was ever shechted.
So it was never kadosh.
So it was never kadosh. Balas mum, continues the braisa, continues Rav Meir in the braisa, if you shechted the animal and it turned out to be a balas mum, and you shechted it and then as you're skinning it and whatever, you discovered that it was a balas mum. Then, as we said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer on the Kiddush, Rabbi Yeshua on the Lake Kiddush. That Rabbi Eliezer says that the Shechita was good enough to be Mekadosh the Lechem, for reasons that we're going to talk about soon. And Rabbi Yeshua says that not. But so far, that agrees exactly with what our Mishnah said. Therefore, that Divrei Rav Meir, that's all according to Rav Meir. Therefore, we see that our Mishnah is according to Rav Meir. Which, fine, it's not Mishnah, it's Rav Meir, but yes. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not how the Machloikas went. Loy nechlechu Rabbi Eliezer v'Rabbi Yeshua al sheshachta v'nimtas trefa shaloy kodesh. No, says Rabbi Yehuda. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would agree, fine, that if you shechted and it turned out to be trefa, that it's not kodesh. Fine, I agree with you, Rabbi Meir, on that.
Rabbi
Meir said the same thing. Val chutzos mana is shekidesh. And also, I agree with you that they both agree that if he shechted chutzos mana with a thought of pigul, that is, that it will become kodesh. Now, one point is, unlike Rav Meir, who says that chutzos mane and chutzos mekayme have the same din, that if you shechted either chutzos mane or chutzos mekayme, either way, kiddush alechem, Rabbi Yehuda is going to distinguish between those two. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that chutzos mane, sure, it's mekadosh, but chutzos mekayme, not necessarily. That's going to be the machlokes, he says.
No, one second.
Furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda says, both of them agree that if the animal was a Baal Mum, it's not Kaddish. But that's item number one that he argues is a Meir. Rabbi Meir had said when it's a Baal Mum is when Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua disagree. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they both agree in that case that the bread is not Kaddish. So what is the case where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing? You, Rabbi Meir, said that it was the case where it's a Baal Mum. No, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's not the case where they were arguing. The case they're arguing about, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, is about chutzos mekayme, which you, Rabbi Meir, said chutzos mekayme is just like chutzos mane. It's definitely mekadosh the bread. No, says Rabbi Yehuda, I say that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argued on that point, where the chutzos mekayme is like chutzos mane. Should Rabbi Eliezer
agree?
They would agree on everything else. They would agree on everything else. In other words, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are saying that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree on three out of the four cases and argue on the other one. The Machlokes is which is the case they disagree on. Rabbi Meir says it's the case where it's a Baal Mum. Rabbi Yehuda says it's the case of Chutzos Mekayme. So therefore, in other words, he's arguing with Rabbi Meir on two cases. Rabbi Meir has said that if it's a Baal Mum, they're arguing. Rabbi Yehuda says they're not arguing. They both agree that's not the Kaddish the bread. And in the case of Chutzos Mekayme, Rabbi Meir says both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going to say that it was Mekadosh the Lechem, and when it was Chutzos Mekayme. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that's the case where they're arguing about. So, like this. So says Rabbi Yehuda, let's continue. I'll tell you how the Machlokes went. So Rabbi Eliezer over Kaddish, Rabbi Yeshua over Kiddish, Rabbi Yeshua over Kiddish. So when it was Chutzos Mekayme, I'm telling you, says Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Eliezer had said it's Mekadosh the bread, Rabbi Yeshua had said it's not, and how did the discussion go on Rabbi Eliezer? So Rabbi Eliezer started saying like this, look, however Chutzos Mane possible, the Chutzos Mekayme possible, consider both Chutzos Mane and Chutzos Mekayme, either way the COVID is possible and you can't eat it. Therefore, so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that they should be exactly the same.
Because
if they're both equally possible, and they're both still in a Kodesh, So then in that case, if one of them is possible, the other one should also be possible. Sorry, if one of them is Makadish the bread, if Chutzpah's Mane is Makadish the bread, and even you, Rabbi Yeshua, agree with that, then why shouldn't it be the same thing with Chutzpah Mekaymus? Rabbi Yeshua says, on the other hand, you can argue like this. You have another case of a psul that we both agree that it's not Makadish. Hoyol, the Chutzpah Mekaymus possible, the Baal Mum possible. Okay, but we also have Chutzpah Mekaymus possible, but a Baal Mum is also possible as a carbon. And ma baal mum like kiddush, and just like if the animal is a baal mum, you Rabbi Eliezer agree with me. Again, this is all within Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machlokes. Rabbi Meir would say the machlokes differently. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, is reciting how Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the previous generation argued. So Rabbi Yeshua says, well, you also have a baal mum, which is not makadish the bread. If it turns out the animal was a baal mum. Ma baal mum like kiddush, chutz l'makayim like kiddush. So therefore, they, just like the baal mum, so should also be chutz l'makayim. So you, Rabbi Eliezer, well, the connection is Rabbi Eliezer is saying that because chutz was mana and chutz l'makayim are both stolen, so if one of them the bread is kiddush, then the other one should also be. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you're going to put stolen, I have another stool where we both agree that it's not the kiddush the bread,
which is
baal mum. So therefore, Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So continues Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, okay, I need you to see the chutzpah zmanoi. I want to compare chutzpah mekaymoi to chutzpah zmanoi. Va'ata dinise le baal mum. You, Rabbi Yeshua, want to compare it to baal mum. Fine. Nira le midoima. Okay, well, then we have to look which one is it more similar to. Im doima le chutzpah zmanoi. If indeed chutzpah mekaymoi is more similar to chutzpah zmanoi, nidudenim with chutzpah zmanoi, then by logic we should learn it from chutzpah zmanoi and say therefore that the bread becomes kaddish. And whatever applies to the korban is going to apply to it. The korban is going to be possible in that case of chutzpah mekaymoi, so the bread will also be possible. Im doim l'baal mum, and if it's similar to a baal mum, nidudenim baal mum, then fine, we'll learn it from baal mum. So now, okay, so we understand. We have to, well, we're not necessarily count the similarities, but let's see which one is more similar to. Hiskel Rabbi Eliezer Lodim. No, they're not necessarily counting numbers, but let's see. Hiskel Rabbi Eliezer Lodim. So Rabbi Eliezer starts arguing as follows. Donin Sol Machshava Mitzol Machshava. Logically, says Rabbi Eliezer, we should learn one case where the korban is possible as a result of a Machshava. We should learn that from another case where it's possible as a result of a Machshava. Both chutzpah zmanah and chutzpah mekaymoi, there's nothing physically wrong with the animal. It's only the machshava of the koyin, or in the case of shchita, or whoever shechted it, that makes it possible with pigle, as the case may be. Therefore, we should learn psul machshava from psul machshava. The ain donin psul machshava mit psul aguf. You should.
Zmanah is machshava.
Mekaymoi is also machshava. What is chutzpah zmanah and what's chutzpah mekaymoi? Remember, chutzpah zmanah is he has in mind, for example, that he's going to eat from the korban tomorrow, we're here at the Toda. Chutzpah mekaymoi means that he has in mind that he's going to eat it, some, he's going to eat it, some of it outside of Yerushalayim. Yeah. And that's also a machshava. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, donin psul machshava mit psul machshava. Logically, we ought to learn a psul that involves machshava from another psul that involves machshava. You shouldn't be learning it from a baal mum, which is something where we actually have a problem with the goof of the animal. Hello. So therefore, it's more logical. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's more logical to understand the way I'm saying that. To understand the way I'm saying that you're going to learn from chutzpah zmanah. If chutzpah zmanah, when the korban is pigul, nevertheless the bread becomes kedushas aguf, and therefore the bread is going to become pigul along with the korban, chutzpah mekaymoi should be the same thing. The chutzpah mekaymoi, okay, the korban is going to be possible, a person doesn't get kareis for eating it, but nevertheless he's over on a lab for eating it, and it has to be burnt like any other kodeshim that are possible, so the same thing. Okay. That says Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Eliezer's argument. On the other hand, then Rabbi Yeshua starts arguing as follows. Donin psul she'en b'kares, mitzul she'en b'kares. More logically, though, says Rabbi Yeshua, we're going to learn one psul that involves kares from another psul that, sorry, we're going to learn a psul that doesn't have kares, mitzul she'en b'kares, from another psul which also doesn't have kares. If the animal is a baal mum, and a
psul that doesn't have kares.
Because, one second, we have three psulim that we're dealing with over here. We have chutzpah zmanoi, we have chutzpah mekaymoi, and we have baal mum. So Rabbi Eliezer is arguing chutzpah zmanah and chutzpah mekaymoi are two of a kind because they both involve machshava. Baal mum has nothing to do with that because it doesn't involve machshava. Therefore, more logically, those two go together. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no, on the other hand, Chutz Mekoymei and Baal Mum should go together. Because look, if the animal is a Baal Mum and it was brought as a korban, it's possible, but there's no kodesh for eating from such a korban. And the same thing with Chutz Mekoymei. If they had in mind doing the shchita or one of the other avodas, that he's going to eat some of it outside Yerushalayim. Also, so the korban is possible, and a person is over a lab for eating it, but there's no korban. Tigul, there's korban. Yes, Tigul, there's korban. So, donin, tzul, she'en be'korban, tzul, she'en be'korban. More logically, says Rabbi Yeshua, we ought to learn one psul where there's no korban, namely chutz l'mekoymei, with psul she'en be'korban, from another psul where there's no korban either, namely Baal Mum. Don't learn from Chutz Mane, Shapostle, Shayesh by Koris, where not only is Postle, but there's Koris for eating it. But Oid, and furthermore, says Rabbi Yeshua, even if you don't accept that argument, because you're saying, okay, you could compare it in one direction, but you can compare it in another direction, how about Nidunenu Mishaloi Lashmai? How about, continues Rabbi Yehuda, fine, you can say that, how about let's consider Shaloi Lashmai? Shaloi Lashmai is also a psul involving Machshava. But again, there's nothing organically wrong with the animal, nothing physically wrong with the animal. Psul machshava, the ein b'koris, that's a psul of machshava. There's no koris involved in eating a korban that's shaloi l'shmoi. In fact, most korbanos that are shaloi l'shmoi are perfectly valid korbanos. The owner is not yoyse his koris. So, as opposed to mane, where it's koris. So in other words, even if Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you want to argue, okay, but I consider the fact that a psul involves machshava to be stronger than the question of whether there's koris or not, fine, but there you have a case with a machshava but no koris, and you see that it is makadish, the bread that comes with the Torah. So therefore, even if you want to compare it to something that has machshava, more logically you should compare it to the cases of machshava where there's no koris, namely, don't learn from chutzos manai, which involves koris, learn rather from shaloi l'shmai, and say just like by shaloi l'shmai, the bread does not become holy as part of the korban because you didn't shaft the shaloi l'shmai. Because he's shepherd of Shalom Shmai, the same thing should be Shalom Kaimer.
He's the only one that knows that.
Well, again, we have the machlokes whether it involves saying it or whether it involves thinking it, but whatever, that's not the point. The point is that Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you, Rabbi Eliezer, were arguing you have two cases that involve machshava, one which involves kares and one doesn't, but you want to argue the fact that they're both machshava means they should have the same rules. If one of them, the bread becomes kaddish along with the Torah, and therefore becomes figgle along with the Torah, then it should, in the other case, also become possible along with the Torah. Fine, but on the other hand, you have, look at the case of Shalom Shmoy. That's the third case involving machshava, where there's no kaddish, and you agree with me, Reb Eliezer, that the bread doesn't become kaddish. So why are you thinking to compare to, so in other words, fine, you want to argue that one similarity is not enough. But fine, here you have two similarities. Both Chutz Mekoymei and Shaloi L'shmoi are possible. Both of them are not, and there's no Koris. Both of them involve Machshava. Therefore, both of them should be the same, that they're not Mekadosh the bread.
Rather than mixing in
Pigul, which involves Koris.
Which one is the Tzitz from Mekoymei?
The Tzitz is Mekadosh for Tumah. That's if a korban was brought for tumma, then the sitz deals with that. Nothing about makom or zman or anything like that. Yeah. The shas that's Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer was quiet. He didn't have an answer to that. So in other words, Rabbi Eliezer agreed with Rabbi Yeshua that you're right in that case. I can't continue to hold in my opinion that there's a difference between chutzos mana and chutzos that chutzos mana and chutzos mekoyme are going to be the same. You're right, they have to be different. Chutzos mana, the bread will become kodesh, chutzos mekoyme it won't. So therefore, it says Rabbi Yehuda, the Yud of Meir, which is also how it is in our Mishnah, had a different version of the Machalikas. Where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua never argued about Chutzos Manai or Chutzos Mekoymei. They only argued about Baal Mum. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, based on this whole discussion, you can see they did argue about Chutzos Mekoymei and not about Baal Mum, because they both agreed in the discussion that Baal Mum, the korban is possible, and then it wasn't Mekadosh the bread, what was drafted.
So Rabbi Yeshua convinced Rabbi Eliezer that Yehuda's...
No, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying, within my understanding, that not only that my version is correct, but in the end, it comes out, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the end, there's no ongoing machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua at all. They both end up agreeing that they both end up agreeing, chutzos mana, the bread is kaddish, chutzos mekoma, it's not, shreifa, it's not, we did, we mentioned briefly at the beginning, shreifa, shaloi kaddish. The only case, so in other words, what it comes out is, the only case where they would say that that the bread was kaddish is if it was chutzos mana. If it was chutzos mana, all other cases, if it was chutzos mekoymos or shaloi lishman or balmum or treka, says Rabbi Yehuda, in the end, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going to agree that the bread didn't become kaddish. Okay.
So can't we say the two opinions about the machlokes of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? One comes before they agree, and one comes after they agree.
I thought of that, but no, because Rabbi Meir is saying that they disagreed about Baal Mum. Rabbi Yehuda is saying they never disagreed about Baal Mum in the first place. Yeah. Okay, fine.
It's
Chutz's mind. Right. He has a mind that he's going to eat it tomorrow or
something. And yet it's Kaddish.
Well, but that's what it means. In other words, remember, we learned a concept in Zvachim and also earlier in our Masechta called Mirata L'Pigulai. We learned that in order for a korban to be pigul, it has to be that the only sulenis is the chutzos mana thought. Everything else was done with proper machshavas. He had in mind he didn't have in mind shalal l'shmoi, he didn't have in mind chutzos mekoymos, nothing like that. The only thing he had in mind is pigul. We said mirata l'pigulai. We said eventually when the blood of that korban is sprinkled on the mizbeach, it makes the korban acceptable, where normally it would mean it makes it acceptable, and now you can go burn the emurim on the mizbeach, on the kohenim, and the owners, or whoever can eat the meat. But now mirata l'pigulai means that the korban now officially becomes pigul. At this point, the dinim of pigul kick in, where now if a person were to eat from this korban, he'd be chayav kares. It doesn't kick in until that point, until the blood is sprinkled. The chaloi, to put it in shivisha terms, the chaloi, when is the status of pigul chal on this korban? Only with the zirka. So here the chaloi of the Torah would accompany that. Right. Once the korban is shechted, which we said, then the chaloi become kodesh, and now later, but the shechita was done with a thought of pigul, later on, when he finishes the rest of the avodas with the proper thought, and therefore now the korban officially becomes pigul, at that point the chalos also becomes pigul, right?
And we said that the chutz mekoma does not involve karet
because it doesn't. We learned back in Zvachim, we're talking about that there, because we said over there that, I mean, if you're asking about the time of Dikra, the reason behind this, I mean, I mentioned at the time of vote from Rav Sham Shina Paul Hirsch, but the bottom line, the basis was, we said, because only by pigul, only by im ha'ochol ya'ochol, by im ha'shlishi, if eaten, if he has in mind to eat it on the third day, only then does the pasuk say that he gets karet. We learn the concept of chutz mekoymos from the pasuk in there as well, but we don't have, but we do, yeah, exactly.
What was the
pasuk? It's actually repeated a couple of times. The concept of pigul is first mentioned in Parashat Tzav, and then it's repeated at the beginning of Parashat Kedoshim. Fine. So all of that. So now we've discussed Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the machloikas. We're actually, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that in the end there is no machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. There was a machloikas in the one case of chutz l'mekoymos, but Rabbi Eliezer ended up conceding to Rabbi Yeshua. Now let's deal with
that opinion prevails.
Ultimately the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua anyway. Now we're going to go back on Mishnah. On Mishnah had mentioned Reb Meir's opinion, Reb Meir's version of the Machlokes. So now let's analyze that. Reb Meir, let's ask the point of Reb Meir, who says that Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua are arguing about the case where the animal is a Baal Mum. My Shna Shocht of Nimtzat Tzreifa. So why should it be different if you shechted the animal and found it Tzreifa, where then we said Loi Kodesh Alechem? The reason is, the have a psul kodim shchita. The Pashtus, the reason is because the psul existed before the animal was ever shechted. Well, in that case, umayishna shocht of nimtzas balas mum, then why is it different if you count it as a bal mum? Also, the question is, it sounds like a mayor is saying, if you shechted the animal that turned out to be a bal mum, that's not considered a soul that existed before shchita. Whereas if you count that, it's a treifer, it is. And therefore, he would say, because the rule he said in the Mishnah was, the rule he said, in the Braita at the beginning of the Sugya was, Zachwal, Kol Shuk psula kodim shchita, any time the psula existed before the shchita, loy kodesh alechem, then the bread doesn't become kodesh, psula acha shchita kodesh alechem. So the question is, in that case, both balmum and shchita existed before the animal was shechted. Why is he calling one that it existed before shchita and the other one not? That's his rule. His rule is saying.
He's saying a principle, but he doesn't say that necessarily.
But he said in the Mishnah, and we said our Mishnah is according to him, that if it's treifa loy kodesh alechem, but if it's a balmum, Rabbi Eliezer holds that kodesh alechem. Now, why should that be? Why should Rabbi Meir say that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing? If Rabbi Meir is saying a rule, a klal, that any time it depends whether it's psula kodesh shchita or not, then balmum is also psula kodesh shchita. The answer is bidukin shabayim. The answer is when Ramey was talking about a bal mum, he doesn't mean any mum. He means, for example, a problem with the eye. Dukin shabayim either means, we talked about before, it means either a cataract or it means a split in the eyelid, whatever it is. Those are one second. Ba'al libe de Rav Akiva de omer im olu lo yod. Meaning, this would be a coincidence of Rav Akiva, where we learned in the Zvachim that we discussed there the concept, like this. When we say kol shepsulei b'kodesh, it doesn't mean necessarily that the psul happened before or after it came into the Azara. The definition of psulei b'kodesh is, if it's something that the mizbeach would be makabel. If you put it on the mizbeach, im olu lo yodu. We had a whole parak about that in Zvachim. Where you have certain kinds of psulim, where even though the korban is possible, and you shouldn't be putting that on the mizbeach, but if you did, then b'di'evet, it becomes lachmosh on mizbeach, it becomes the food of the mizbeach, and you don't take it down. Rabbi Akiva says that also applies to dukin shabayim. In other words, even if the animal is a bal mum, as long as it's a minor mum like that, then b'di'evet, the mizbeach will accept it. And the reason we said over there was because since such a thing is kosher when it comes to bird korbanos, because birds are possible only if they're mechoser eiver, only if they're missing an actual limb, like for example an eye was knocked out or whatever, or a wing or whatever. Yeah. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, it's true that dukin shabayin make an animal korban possible. However, not to the extent that in olu lo yerdu. So Rabbi Akiva is going to say, in other words, that in that sense, dukin shabayin in a certain in that limited sense can be considered sulu b'kodesh. Therefore, so you're not allowed to be masters of Hakila, you're Oyrana Loisas, there you do, but nevertheless, you're Ola Loyim. So the mayor is taking up that opinion, and therefore he's saying, okay, well, if the animal has Dukin Shabayim, so Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, like Rabbi Akiva, im olu lo yodu, therefore in that limited sense we can call it a psul after shchita, and therefore that means besides that im olu lo yodu, it also means therefore that the shchita of this korban had the power to be makadish the 40 loaves of the Torah, whereas Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that not.
Because he believes it's malu yodu?
Because, so that's what we're going to discuss. No, Rabbi Yeshua could say, as the Gemara is going to say now, one second, Rabbi Yeshua. So actually, we're asking over here according to Rabbi Yeshua, but actually there's a different girsa over here for Rabbi Yehuda. Either way, it works out. I mean, the question could be, according to the mayor's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, what would he answer to that? And also, what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? Who says that Rabbi Yeshua, that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, say that a bal mum is loy kodesh halachim? Don't they agree with Rabbi Akiva's concept? One second. So the answer is, ki amar Rabbi Akiva in olu lo yodu. Fine, but you know when Rabbi Akiva says in olu lo yodu is regarding the korban itself. Because solo gufe, that's fine. The korban itself, the animal itself, has a psul, but you're saying because it's a minor psul, because it's only drukin shabayin, we're going to allow the evidence went on the bed. Avala kadushi lechem, but that should have the power to also be makadish the bread, which is not even part of the animal itself. It's something adjunct to the bread. That not, they say. So Rabbi Yeshua and or Rabbi Yehuda would say that, okay, yes, if the animal had dukin shabayin, Rabbi Akiva would say you could leave the pieces of it on the mizbeach, but to go so far as to say that the shchita that should be mekadesh the lechem, that Rabbi Yeshua is going to say not, and Rabbi Huda is going to say that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua say not.
What happened
later? Rabbi
would say what?
Again, Rabbi Akiva would say that if the animal had dukin shabayin, and you brought the pieces of it on the mizbeach, fine, but yevid, you leave them there, but not Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, or Rabbi Yehuda would say, not necessarily would Rabbi Akiva say that it's also mekadesh the bread.
So what would he say?
So he would say it's not mekadesh the bread. So that's the point. That's what Rabbi Yeshua would say. Therefore, according to the Meir's version, Rabbi Yeshua would say lekadesh alechem. And according to Rabbi Yehuda's version, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua would say that. Only according to the mayor's version of Rabbi Eliezer would Rabbi Eliezer say no. If it's enough to be in all of the yodu, if it's enough to be left on the mizbeach, it's also enough to be mekadesh the bread.
couldn't the one that some category has to bring another carbon?
Well, it would mean, right, if it's not a category, right, I mean, well, either way, you'd have to bring another carbon. If it's, either way, you'd have to bring another carbon. The Naskamina, if the bread is Kaddish or not, is, first of all, can you be Koydeh? If it has Kedush HaTaguf, you can only be, the only thing you can be Koydeh once it has Kedush HaTaguf is animals. We're going to learn much of what we're going to learn in the Sefer Erechin in a few months from now, Be'ez Hashem. You can't be Koydeh birds that were meant for a korban. You can't be Koydeh inanimate things like bread or flour or what have you. Only four-legged animals.
No, okay, the chalas.
So first of all, you have these chalas, which are possible. You can't be Koydeh them. So you're going to have to burn them. Second of all, it would also mean if a person eats them, he's over on a lav. He's not chayiv malchus. He may be chayiv malchus as well. He's not going to be chayiv kares unless it's a figle. But yeah. So a new korban is going to have to bring regardless. But if we say they were niskadish with the korban, then it means that now they became pulsal together with the korban. If we say they weren't niskadish, fine. You buy them back from Hekdish, and now you have bread that you can take anywhere in the world. And
you have to bring another one.
You have to bring another korban regardless.
So Yehuda would say they're not.
So Rav Yehuda would say, so again, that in the end, everybody would agree that usually the bread is not Kaddish if there was a psul. The only case where the bread b'chlal gets Kedusha is if the korban was pivul, and then of course it's Kaddish insofar as a person is chayev kares for eating it, just like any other pivul. Rav Meir would say that if it was chutzlus mana or chutzlus mekoyma, then everybody would agree, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua, that Kodesh Halachem. So again, the bread will be pigled or possible, whatever the case may be, but it will have that Kedusha. You can't be part of it. And if the animal was a Baal HaTzmon, with Duk and Shabayin, then Rabbi Eliezer will again say yes, and Rabbi Shua will say no.
The point of the question is that is there anyone that would hold in the last case that the Duk and Shabayin, and it was in the Kal, and it was on the Mizbeach? Would anyone hold that yes, he was yet to the Kodesh?
No, definitely he's not yet to the Kodesh. Definitely he's not yet to the Kodesh.
So, Rav Meir, according to Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Eliezer, would both not argue on anything else than the Dukinayim.
Right. But they would both, in particular, they would both agree that Chutz L'Mekoyma, the bread becomes Kaddish, whereas Rabbi Yehuda had said that no, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua originally disagreed on that, and then Rabbi Eliezer ended up agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua. Yeah.
That it wouldn't
be Makadosh the bread.
Way it's better, it shouldn't be
right, if it's not Makadosh the bread, obviously, then yeah, it can be part of that bread rather than the bread. Right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. It's fine. But now we have discussion of Amoroyim further on this topic. Chatas Sheshasa Chutzlus Mana. Well, for the moment, no, we're gonna get back to it, but we're gonna talk about a side thing related to that. Chatas Sheshasa Chutzlus Mana. If you shechted a chatas with a thought of chutzlus mana, which makes it pivul, im also lo yered. So then the usual rule will apply, im ola lo yered, because even though it's pivul, the usual rules apply, that it's sulei b'kodesh, and therefore the mizbeach can be makabel at b'diyed. Chutzlus mekoyma, what happens if the chatas was shechted with a thought of chutzlus mekoyma? Everybody agrees to that. Chutzlus mekoyma, what happens if it's shechted with a machshava of chutzlus mekoyma? Then you have a machloikas amiroyim. Rava omer teired, Rava omer lo teired. Rava says you will take it off the mizbeach because it was shechted with chutzlus mekoyma, and Rava will say that not, it's the same as chutzlus mana in that case. I don't know if we had this. No, one second. Rava, the point is, Rava could have Yeshua, but Rava could have Eliezer. Which means Rava is holding like Rabbi Yeshua, that there is a difference between chutzlus mana and chutzlus mekoyma. Just like we said before, that Rabbi Yeshua would say chutzlus mana is mekadish the bread, but chutzlus mekoyma is not. The same thing, Rava would be saying there's a difference between chutzlus mana and chutzlus mekoyma. Chutzlus mana is an olah lo yered, chutzlus mekoyma is not. The Rava could Rabbi Yezer. Rava would be meanwhile holding like Rabbi Yezer, that chutzlus mana, with Rabbi Yezer's original argument, that chutzlus mana and chutzlus mekoyma are the same thing. And therefore, if one of them is olim olah layered, then the same thing the other one also. And the Gemara says, now actually, Tosfos gets into a discussion over here that we didn't have this particular machlokas in Zvachim, but we did have a Mishnah that said over there, ve'elurim olah layered, and it mentioned the chutzlus mekoyma. So how is Rava able to argue with that? Rava than Amori, he can't argue with a Mishnah. The Tosfos discusses goes back and forth. No, well, unless we can, well, I mean, we have the Machlokas Panoim over here, but that's as far as whether we're Makadosh the bread or not. We didn't have Machlokas over there about Yerid or not. So, okay, Tosfos, So Tosafos just gets into a bit of a discussion of that. One thing is, it brings that Rabbeinu Tam says that maybe instead of the girsa here being a chatas, maybe the girsa should be over here a toja. That, given we just said that there might be a difference, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, between chutzah mekoyma and chutzah zmane when it comes to being mekadesh the bread, then maybe there could also be a difference between them as far as the imol lo yerid. And then Tosafos goes on to say that maybe there, in general, there'd be a difference between kodshe kodshim and kodshim kalin because you have differences between them as far as me'ila. So maybe therefore you... So therefore we could say that when it comes to kodshe kodshim, we would say that whether chutzah zmane or chutzah mekoyma, either way, imol lo yerid, once some is there, you leave it there. But when it comes to kodshim kalin, Tosafos says, you could say that maybe that maybe with kodshim kalin, since if there was any kind of stall in it, including chutzah mekoyma, either way, I mean the zrika is not going to, if you do chutzah mekoyma, the zrika is not going to take away me'ila from the imurim. Therefore, you can argue it doesn't affect them either as far as im olo lo yerim. It doesn't give them the kedusha to stay on the mizbeach. That's Tosafos discusses that.
The Gemara doesn't
go into those details, but that's Tosafos is saying on the basis of analyzing our Gemara and the Gemara in Zvach in the Beth. Okay. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara says, V'hodrebe Rabba l'gabe de Rabba. Now, in the end, Rabba ended up agreeing with Rabba. Why? If we said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Eliezer ended up agreeing with Rabbi Yeshua, that chutzah zmane and chutzah mekoyma are indeed the same thing, then the same thing. Rabbi has to agree with Rabbi that there is the same thing. Because if Rabbi is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why he's saying loy peirid, well then in that case, then if Rabbi Eliezer gave up and agreed to Rabbi Yeshua, then Rabbi doesn't have anything to stand on.
Yeah.
Right. The Ikad Amri, however, another version of the discussion goes that, another version of the discussion of between Rabba and Rabba, no, even though when it came to the question of the Toda and its bread, Rabbi Eliezer ended up conceding to Rabbi Yeshua, nevertheless, Rabba, Lagabe did Rabba, Loi Hodabe. Nevertheless, Rabba did not have to concede to Rabba. He can still stick to his opinion that Chutzah Mekoyma Loi Tered, where Rabba is saying Tered. Even though Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer now are saying that there's a difference between chutzah zmane and chutzah mekoyma when it comes to the Torah, but Rabbi can still say that reason does not apply to im olo lo yerim. Why? Mm-hmm. Because, after all, what was Rabbi Yeshua's winning argument against Rabbi Eliezer? He says, Rabbi Eliezer, you're trying to compare chutzah mekoyma to chutzah zmane, but instead you can compare it to a different case involving machshava, namely shaloi l'shmai. Well then, so in that case, then that was the winning argument, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer had no choice but to concede to that, because he had no answer. Right. Aval hacha, but over here, you could argue, idainis lemi shalai l'shmai, very well, fine, you want to learn it from shalai l'shmai, okay, the fact is, im also lo tera, the fact is that a korban that was offered shalai l'shmai, yeah, im olo lo yeru, even a chasa, yeah, and Rashi Ksavyan says actually, even a chasa, where it's true that a chasa is one of the korbanas that if you shech that shalai l'shmai is possible, and you're not supposed to put it on the mizbeach, even then, im olo lo yerid, because shaloi l'shmai is kosher by most other korbanos. And therefore, we can say, since it's kosher by most other korbanos, then it's, so to speak, kosher enough by a chatas to apply the im olo lo yerid. So therefore, it says Rabbah, ad Rabbah, if you're going to use Rabbi Yeshua's argument according to, against Rabbi Eliezer before, then that will result over here in that there is going to be a difference, that there's not going to be a difference, between chutzah zmane and chutzah mekoyma, because both of them are going to be like shaloi l'shma, and you leave it on the mizbeach. So in that case, Rabbi would say to Rabbi, you're the one who's being inconsistent, saying that because Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind, and because you hold like Rabbi Yeshua, therefore you want to say here also that there's going to be a difference between them. Well, not really, you can't really tell him you're being inconsistent. Okay, you're holding like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is anyway learning chutzah mekoyma from Balmum. Well, Balmum is im olo yerid, unless we said according to Rabbi Akiva, Duk and Shabayin. Okay, so then fine. You can hold also that the same thing would be true as far as chutzah mekoyma. Me, where I agree with Rabbi Eliezer's original svara, here there's no reason for here in this particular case. In olo lo yerid, the svara that Rabbi Eliezer had to give into Rabbi Yeshua doesn't apply over here. Because over there, the result of the svara was to say you're comparing the three cases chutzah zmane, chutzah mekoyma, and shaloi l'shmai, and saying in all three of the cases the bread doesn't become kaddish. But in this case, adrabah, comparing all three of them is going to result that all of them are olo lo yerid. Even in the case of Achata, Shalom Lishmai. And even, and therefore also in the case of Shalom Chutz L'Mekayimah. So therefore, Rabbah says, I have no reason. So again, version one of the Gemara is that Rabbah would have to take it back. Once Rabbi Eliezer took back his opinion, then Rabbah has to take back it. But the other version is that no, Rabbah would say there's a difference between there and here. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shach the Shalom Lishmai V'Cholah. Then we said as follows. We said that you have, again, we had in the case of the Toida, if it was Shech of Shalom Lishmai, we said the bread doesn't become Kaddish. We said the same thing applies to the Korbanos Milurim from Moshe Rabbeinu's time, where also there was bread accompanying them, as we learned on Ayin Chesed Aleph. And also in the case of the Kibsei Aseres, which are accompanied by the Shkei Lachem, as we learned earlier in the Seder. So in all those three cases, if the Korban itself is Shech of Shalom Lishmai, then Lo Kaddish Halach. The bread doesn't become Kaddish, which means you can be poisoned. So, the question is, Omer Papa, Shavak Tani Yidan Eil Nazir Vishliyah. What is the Tana of our Mishnah is ignoring the ram of a Nazir, which is brought much more commonly, because a Miluim is an ongoing thing, as long as there's a Bethemitish. Not the Miluim. Nazir is an ongoing thing, as long as there's a Bethemitish. People are going to be becoming Nazirim, and bring Karbonis of a Nazir, but not get Eil Miluim. Instead, we're mentioning the Eil Miluim, which is a one-time thing. What's the logic? Better the Tana should have mentioned that this din applies to the Eil Nazir, yeah. So the answer is the Tana Digan. The Taka, what is the Tana of Om Mishnah holding? What is he thinking? The answer is Iker Milsa Naka. He's mentioning the main part of the thing, namely when it comes to the Miluim, that was the first time in history where you have a Korban that's accompanied by Lechem, where the shechting of the Korban is Makadish the Lechem. So therefore, the Tana mentioned the Miluim only because that was the first one that ever came. As Rashi Saviad says a little bit differently, it's the first korban at all that was brought. So therefore, he mentions that. You're meant to understand that, yes, it would apply to the ram of the Nazir. Rashi Saviad actually brings another explanation that the Mishnah would prefer as much as possible to mention the korbanos that are korbanos sibur. The Toda, okay, you have no choice. We're talking about the Toda, Miluim is sibur, and the korbanos of Shavuot, the Kibsei Aseret, are also a korban sibur. Though it doesn't mention the korban Yochid, the Nazir, but yes, you're meant to understand that the same rule would apply there as well. Kibsei Aseret, the two sheep that are brought as the Shalmei sibur together with the Shtei Lechem.
It's
a korban sibur. It's brought on behalf of the sibur. Yes.
Everyone brings their own yomtzeit because.
No. That's true. Everybody brings their own shlomim and their own oilus, but that's a separate thing. That's a separate thing. We're talking about the shalmei aseret, the two that are brought as a korban together with the shtei lechem, and that makes the shtei lechem mutter for the kohenim tea. Okay, but nevertheless, the same din applies to them. The Mishnah is mentioning them, and we're meant to understand that it applies also to their korbanos of a Nazir.
Which still stays the Nazir stays because it's
okay. So that's a pompous question, but the answer is the Mishnah preferred to mention the Miluim either because it's the first one, either because the first one, or according to Rashi's second explanation, because the sibur. Okay, it doesn't matter, Sadi Rishah. It has to do with which one you bring first, not which one you mention.
Okay.
It's Masu the Shtei Lechem to be eaten. We talked about that earlier in the Seder. On Shavuot, yeah. Okay.
That's
nothing to do with Tishrei. No, it's Shavuot. Okay. So now that we were talking about previous... In Shavuot, that's true. We say Shnei Tzirim, but that's Shnei Tzirim or Tzirim HaTorah. That's something else. No, we actually don't mention any of the korbanos that come with the Shtei Lechem, except for that story. The reason we're B'chol, in Shavuot Davening, we don't mention the korbanos, we don't mention the Shtei Lechem. One second. Okay, every Yom Tov, they have a Musaf, and a Musaf includes a Sor for a Chatzah. On Shavuot, we learned before in the Sefer, we learned on Mem Hei, you have an additional set of korbanos, which accompany the Shtei Lechem. You have seven sheep. You have seven sheep, you have a pow, you have an aisle, whatever, and two elim, whatever, and you have a sorer l'chata. So in Shavuot Davening, we're only mentioning the Musafid. We actually don't mention the Shtei Lechem and the Korbanos that accompany them. However, when Chosim and Eskeim Kimadomer, and we mention that there was a sorer l'chata, we have no choice. We mention that there were two seirim, because the fact is they were bringing two seirim on that day. But to say that they only brought sorer l'chata. One sorer for the Musaf and one for the Shtei Lechem. Yeah, but that's the only one of the korbanos for the Shtei Lechem that we're mentioning. We don't mention the Shnei Kibsei Aseret. We don't mention the Purim and the Elim and the Kvatim. No, we don't, because they're a separate korban. Yeah.
But still, the Shnei Kvatim is
not the Shnei Kvatim. It's two different things.
One
of them is a reference to the Shtei Lechem. Fine. Since we mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the bread of Atodah becomes Kaddish only when the Korban is shechted. But now we're going to talk about a similar concept when it comes to the Nesachim that accompany a Korban. The flour and wine and oil that go on the Mizeach that accompany most Korbanos. Oilos, Shlomim, etc. Nesachim means, well, in a narrow sense, Nesachim means the wine because it's poured on the Mizeach. But in a wider sense, it means also the flour and oil mixed with the Mincha that also accompanies a Korban. Most Korbanos, Oilos, Shlomim, etc., usually are meant to come with, you have Nesachim. You have for the Korbanos Sibur, they're meant for the Korbanos Sibur, they're mentioned in Parashas Pinchas, in daily davening, for example. Benisko, you have Benisko to be a Tahin like Kevas Achad, and then you have over there also a Mincha, and Solos Bulul Vashemin, you have over there also, and by the Mustafin, by each one, it also mentions that you have Minchasam, Solos Bulul Vashemin, Shloshah Sunan Apar, etc. And by Korbanos Yachid, you have the same thing described in Parashas Shlach. So most Korbanos, you have if it's a pow, you have three, three Esroim of flour, and six logim of oil and six logim of wine that accompany the korban. In the case
together,
no, the flour and the oil are mixed together to make a mincha. The wine is separate. In the case of an aisle, you have two Esroim of flour. And you have two Esroim of flour and four logim of oil and of wine. And in the case of a keves, you have one Esroim and three logim of wine and three of oil.
So what part of these things we just mentioned go?
So all of them. So the flour and oil mixture is like a mincha. It's completely burnt on the mizbeach.
The whole thing.
The wine wine is poured into the shittim, into the drainage pour over there on the mizbeach. Okay.
The
kohenim don't have any part of the mizbeach. So the Mishnah says, "Hanesachim shekodshu b'kli." If nesachim were placed in a kli sharis, v'nimsa zevach fossil, and then afterwards it turns out that the korban that they're supposed to be accompanying is fossil. So what do you do? It depends. Im yesh zevach acher, if there is another korban available, and we'll see in the Gemara what available means for this purpose. Yakli v'uimoy, then good, you match with those nesachim together with that korban. Well, you can't be koyed yet. You can't. Once they're in a kli sharis, they have to do something.
That was meant for different carbon.
Doesn't matter. That's what we're saying. If there's another carbon available, you have to do the imlav, and if not, if there's no other carbon available, you postle the linear, then they become postle by being left overnight. The Shittimukubasis brings another gear, then they have to be burnt, like any other postle of carbon. Shittimukubasis brings a gear in, said not imlav, but imlonu. If they were left overnight, then yeah, they become postle by
linear.
Right. They would be burned elsewhere where postle carbon is.
Yeah, but once you pour it into the horns of the slave, it goes down.
Yeah, we're talking about, in other words, a person brought an oila, for example, he brought a stocking with it, they shechted the oila, it turned out to be possible in one way or another. So we're saying, if there's another korban available, then you bring in a stocking with it. If not, then we leave them to become possible by later. Because we can't use them with another korban, as we'll see in the Gemara why. So, the Gemara starts off, Omer Zeivi, Ein an a stocking, miskanshin ela b'shchitat hazeh. The nesachim become kaddish only when the korban is shechted. Not when it's placed in the kli sharis. Now, so what does that mean? We just said in the Mishnah they become kosher when they become kaddish when they're in the kli sharis. So Rashi explains that you have two different stages. They become posel. They have kedushas aguf when they're placed in the kli sharis in the sense that you can't be poyed to them anymore. But to become posel by lina, that would only happen once the korban is shechted, is what the Yuri says. Only once the korban that they're accompanying is shechted, only then, if the nesachim are left overnight, after that, do they become possible with lit. No. What do you mean, earlier stage? According to Rashi, what we're saying is there's two stages. You have like this, the kedushas damim. That we're not dealing with. The kedushas damim, the fact that you designated that this flour and wine and oil is going to be used for a korban, that's kedushas damim, that you can still record it. Hektish, after that, we're not dealing with that. Within kedushas haguf, Rashi explains that Ziri is telling us you have two stages in it. One stage is when it's placed in a kli sharis, and our Mishnah said that shekodshu the kli. At that point, it becomes kodesh in the sense now it has kedushas aguf that you can't be poyed.
What's placed in a kli
sharis? The flour and the wine and oil. Then Rashi says, which is the Iri is telling us, then you have a third stage, which is once the korban is shechted, then additionally they also become posel if they're left overnight. We're up until that.
Animal becomes kurdish when the flour and the oil is put in the
flour and the oil themselves become kurdish when they're placed in the kli sharis. Fine, I thought that's where I thought that's. I thought, you know.
No,
okay, I'm sorry. Okay, again, Forget about the animals. The nesachim we're talking about. They get kedushas damim when you first designate them. They get kedushas guf first stage of kedushas guf when they are placed in a sea charter. The flour and the wine and the oil. They get the next level of kedushas guf, namely if they become possible by lina when the animal is shechted. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos mentions briefly over here and discusses at greater length earlier in the Masechta, at the end of the second paragraph, that no, that's not what it means. They have the full kedushas guf as soon as they're placed in the kli sharis. What the Iri means over here, ein anasachim neskadshin ela b'shchitzas azeva, is once the korban is shechted, you can't take those nesachim and use them for another korban. This, that you could change them to use them for another korban, that you could do even after they're in a kli sharis, but only until the korban is shechted. Tosfos says that's what the Iri means.
So in this case where he shechted and it was possible, what happens?
That's what we have to figure out. How does the Iri, what is the Iri saying? How does that fit with our mission? So first, my timer, what does the Iri mean? Omakra, zevach unestachim. The reason is because the Pasuk mentions, uses the expression, zevach unestachim, a korban and nestachim. So that teaches us there's a connection between the zevach, there's the shech, zevach literally means the shechting of the korban, there's a connection between that and nestachim. When do they become full-fledged nestachim? When the korban is shechted. Okay. So now, Tnan, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that fits with this.
In time, first the Nesachim is the first the...
As soon as the Korban is shechted, the Nesachim becomes the Nesachim.
Right, but they're placed in a Kali Kodesh.
They're placed in a Kali Kodesh for that. Right. Yeah. Okay. Tnan, now let's look at our Mishnah. We said, HaNesachim Shekodshu B'Kli, if Nesachim are placed in a Kli Sharis, and they have Kedushas HaGuf, V'nimta Zevach Posel, and then the Korban ends up being Posel, Im Yesh Zevach Acher, we said if there's another Korban available, Yikruvi, right? Then you bring those Nesachim with it. V'im Lav, and if not, you Posel B'Lina, then the Nesachim become Posel by being left overnight. So, what do we mean? The Korban became Posel. My Lav is still B'Shchitah. On the face of it, Mishnah can mean it became any kind of Posel, including it became Posel during the Shchitah. Well then, the question would be, according to the Iri's rule, as soon as the korban is shechted, the nesachim went along with it also, they should immediately become posel. So what do you mean? You can take them now and use them for another korban. Rashi on top brings another explanation of what the Gemara's question is, that you're telling me that, assuming it became possible in Shchita, you're saying that if there's no other korban, you're possible Belina. So the question is, if the Shchita is Mekadosh them, and they weren't Kaddish before that, why are you possible Belina? They never became Kaddish, because it wasn't a proper Shchita, because it was a stool during the Shchita. So the Edi's rule doesn't... Okay, so the first explanation was that once the korban is possible, then the Nesachim should also be possible. How could you use them with another korban? The other way of looking at it, Rashi says that he heard from his Rebbein, is the other way around. If the Shechita is possible, it couldn't have been Mekadosh these Nesachim, according to the Iri's rule. So why would we say possible Belina? Why would they become possible if they're left overnight? They don't have Kedushas HaGuf yet.
Because
the Shechita was possible. The answer is loy. No, because that's not necessarily what the Mishnah means. It may mean the ipsil bezrisa. It may mean the shchita itself was perfectly kosher, but then it became possible with zrisa. Now the nesachim already became kodesh when the animal was shechted. So therefore, if there's another korban available, then you can put them with it. Okay.
When can
if the shchita was possible, then maybe you couldn't. Again, according to Rashi's first explanation, because at that point the korban is possible and the nesachim became possible together with it. And according to the second way of looking at it, of course you could use them with another korban. There's no chiddush in it. They don't even have to shchita guf yet because the shchita was possible. But when is the Mishnah saying that the only thing you can do with them is use them for another korban is when it was possible in the zrisa? Or not necessarily the zrisa. I mean, it could also be that it was possible in the Kabbalah or the Halacha. We're mentioning zrisa because it's not anything after.
Still
on the floor, right. Yeah. So the question is, Kiman, okay, so who would this be going like? Kirebi. This apparently would be going only according to Rebbe. Da'oma shnei dvarim amaturin malin zebel ozeh. Namely, we have earlier in the Masechta, when we were talking about the Shtei Alechem and the Kvasim that go with them, We had a machloitis over there involving the kvasim. If they were shechted l'shman, and then the blood was sprinkled shalo l'shman. The Rebbe said over there, shnei dvarim amaturin malin zeveloizeh, that if you have two things that are necessary for something to be mutter, then one of them without the other is able to elevate it to a higher level of kedusha. So therefore, Rebbe has said over there that the lechem now is kadosh ve'enei kadosh. It has a degree of kedusha, just not full kedusha. The two things are shita and zitta. Shita and zitta. So on the face of it, that would be used as the same thing over here. You'd be saying that you need the shchita and the zrika to be mekadesh the nesachim, and therefore we're saying that once it was shechted, but the zrika was done with stalled, and now you can use these, you have to use these nesachim for another korban, and if not, then they become possible by lina. That seems to be only according to Rebbe. According to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, who said over there that it only becomes kadosh only if both things happen, then it doesn't seem to work, because according to him, why should the Nesachim become Kaddish before the Zrika? The answer is Afilu Tamer of Elazar ben Rav Shimon. No, because you could say that our Mishnah and Ze'iri's statement work even according to Elazar ben Rav Shimon, because Chachav Mayas Kinnin, because what's the case over here? Not where there was a stool in the Zrika, as in he did the Zrika, but it ended up being possible. Because when Shekibol Domen Bekos for Nishbach, the case is he received the blood in the container, and then it spilled. The Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, Savala Kavasei Davor. So in that case, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon holds like his father, Rav Shimon, who says, the Amar, Kola Omer Zizorek Kizorek Rami. He says when you have blood that is supposed to be sprinkled, it's considered as if it was sprinkled, so you don't really consider that there was a stool in the Zrika. Sure, obviously it doesn't mean the blood wasn't actually sprinkled, but the carbon doesn't become kosher to eat. But nevertheless, though, it's at least you have to that limited extent, you can consider it if it was already sprinkled, and therefore, because you could, because the kola over there, once it was received in the container and ready to be sprinkled on the mezeach, then it's not making the korban kosher, but it makes it kosher to the limited extent that you have both maskirin or considered to have taken place, because the shchita actually took place, the zrika potentially took place, and therefore. Potentially, but that's enough, according to Rav Shimon, and according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, to say that therefore you have both matirin have taken place, and therefore that these nesachim can, that therefore these nesachim can now be used with another korban, and that if not, and at once that, and can be used for another korban, as long as there's another korban available, and that if not, they're going to become possible with lin.
Why can't you use another korban? Everything was officially done. It was used.
Because that's the thing. So he says that once you have both things are done, now the nesachim have full kedushas and gufs. If it weren't for that, if you had, in other words, if the zrika had been actually done, and it was possible, then Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon might say that. Okay, well, these nesachim don't even have kedushas aguf yet, because you need both things to give them kedushas aguf. Therefore, fine, maybe you could be poja them, maybe you don't have to use them for another korban, whatever. But the point is, he was saying.
And the blood was received in the table before zrika,
then he would say that as long as it spilled afterwards and never actually made it to the mezeach, that would be enough, not to make the grapple stress, not to make the korban kosher, but that now the nesachim have their full kedushas aguf. And that now the only thing that you do with them is use them for another korban if there's another korban.
Well,
that's why if you have another korban available, you'd have to use them for that, right? Amar Rav Chisda, so now Rav Chisda says, here's another din in this connection. Shemen she'ifrisha l'shum minchazeh, if you have oil that was set aside to be put into one mincha, posel l'shum mincha acheres, then it's posel to use it for a different mincha. So similar. However, Amar Rav Yanai, but Rav Yanai says, no, leiv beis din masna alehen, no, because the mind of beis din, the beis din of koyanim, who run things on a day-to-day basis, in the base of Mekdash, they make a tnai on it, im hutzruchu hutzruchu, that if this oil was needed, and Rashi Ksaviad says specifically we're talking about over here oil for mincha of the sibur, so in other words, a mincha snesachim that's meant to accompany a korban sibur, so lay based in masnalem, im hutzruchu hutzruchu, if it was needed for this particular korban, then it was needed, good, the imlav, Yehuda Zevachacha, and if not, then lay based in has in mind that it should be available for another mincha. They had in mind that it's only becomes kodesh if it's needed for this particular mincha.
In
general, you have this concept of lay based in masna when it comes. Yes, it all depends on mashava. But yeah, we're going to have a concept of lay based in masna lay a little later also. Yeah, but
after they had a mashava, they changed their mind.
For one second, so you set aside oil for a particular mincha, and then it turned out that and then it turned out that you don't need it for that mincha, or that mincha became possible, or whatever. So then, Beis Din can say that it's okay, you can use, let's say, for example, the flour for that mincha became possible, so Beis Din can have in mind now that that flour is available, that oil is available for a different mincha. So not like Rav Chista says that it's possible, Rav Yane would say, leave Beis Din mas now later.
We said to do every kind of thing.
They would have in mind, right. Okay.
What about the flour? If the oil becomes possible, can they take the flour and change it to some other carbon?
Maybe. Well, actually, you know what? One second, actually. Sorry, no, there's two different dinim over here. Sorry, I'm getting this wrong. Okay. Rav Chista is saying that, again, if oil was set aside for a mincha, then it becomes possible to use for another mincha. Rav Yanai is saying a more general statement that when you have nesachim that were meant for one carbon sibur, and now that carbon sibur became possible, that those are available to use for another carbon sibur. Because lay based in mas now lay.
Lay based
only on the nesachim in general. Well, first of all, only with the sibur. Right. Actually, Tosfos discusses, that same Tosfos at the end of the second paragraph discusses this sugya a little bit on the basis of we have a Mishnah over there where a mayor and the Chachamim disagree on this concept of whether you can repurpose Nesachim from one carbon. We have a case over there involving that Zevach Mesfagolos and Nesachim, which is called Shubakri, Divrei Rav Meir, and we have an argument between Rav Meir and the Chacham over there about the exact connection between the Korban and the Nesachim, whether when the Korban becomes tiggled, does the Nesachim also become tiggled. The Tosfos discusses over there that the Sugya over here on Andat Ayin Tes may be only according to Rav Meir. The Chachamim might disagree with the Chachamim might disagree with the whole premise. The Chachamim might say that anyway, then the Nesachim have no connection with the Korban. You don't need Lei based in Mas Nal Lehen in order to use them for another Korban.
You
don't have to, according to him either. So that's Tosfos' way of explaining it. The Rambam, for example, seems to not say like that, because the Rambam paskins that you have to use the Lei based in Mas Nal Lehen, you have to use Rav Yanai's rule.
Okay, so Rambam right. Asking the question, he said on the oil, you can use some
so that's, no, so we, okay, one second. According to Rav Chista, you can't use the oil. And even Rav Yana is not saying you can use the oil. Rav Yana is saying if you have the nesachim as a whole, that were meant to go for one particular carbon, and the carbon is fossil, you can use those nesachim for a different carbon because they're based in Masnalim. So the question is, so that's the question. In that case, according to Rav Yana's rule, why shouldn't that apply to oil as well? Rav Yanai seems to agree with Rav Chista that oil that was meant for one mincha you can't use for a different mincha. But if he says nesachim from one carbon you can use for a different carbon because lay based in nasna, why shouldn't it work with oil as well? That's the answer. The answer is shemen go for the mincha because oil is part of the mincha. It's mixed in. As opposed to the nesachim are not.
You could,
not technically you could. Because it's part of the actual mincha itself, therefore you can't have in mind that it should become part of a different mincha. So therefore, as soon as the mincha becomes fossil, the oil becomes fossil as well. That's mixed in. Well, that's what we're talking about. Well, yeah. Okay. So the question is, the listener alay and the nifkulachulin. So then if we're saying that Rav Yana is telling us that if the nesachim were meant for one carbon, lay based in masnalin, he used them for a different carbon. But the question is, why do we need Beis Din to have in mind that it should be used for a different carbon, which would then mean if you don't have another carbon available, it's going to become possible with Luna. Why don't we just say that Beis Din should have in mind that they should go and become Chulin? Beis Din can have in mind to begin with that they were only made Kaddish only on condition that they're needed for a carbon. If they're not needed for a carbon, let Beis Din have in mind to begin with that they should become Chulin, and that way we don't have the problem with Luna. The answer is true. You can use them for Chulin purposes. The answer is fine, but Zera, Shema Yemun, we're seeing this, we showed us before. Fine, but we make it Zera not to do that, because people are going to think that in general, even without a Tanai, even if the carbon is not possible, that you can take things that were in a Tzvi Shoris and use them for Chol. And usually you can't do that. As a matter of fact, usually if something was in a Tzvi Shoris, you can't be poided at all, like I was saying before. I understand, but still, the fact is, you're going to have, people are going to see that this thing was in a, that these Nesachim were in a Tzvi Shoris, and now they're seeing that was poided then, people are going to mistakenly think that you can be poided at anything that went in a Tzvi Shoris. They're not going to realize this concept of lay based in Mas Nalei. Okay. So the question is, So the question is, okay, well then hashtanami, well then by the same logic, you should have the same problem if you're going to use them for another korban. Why don't we have the same problem? That people are going to think that the stachim that was set aside for one korban are kosher for another korban without a tanach. No, but that's the point. The fact is, you can't just take them from one zevach and use them for another. We said in the Mishnah, you have to have another one available. But then in that case, you also should have that you can't just do that for lay based in to say that you take them from one korban and use them for another, because people also may be confused. The answer is Hotoni Matisya Ben Yehuda. The answer is that Matisya Ben Yehuda taught a braisa that says, what do we mean in the Mishnah, and what do we mean for that matter in Rabbi Yannai's rule, that we can use the Nesachim for another korban to goin shahoya zevach zavuach v'oitashah. What do we mean? There's another korban available. We mean that the other korban was actually already shechted at that time. So if you have it, in other words, for example, so again, we're talking about a person brought an oila. Person brought an oila, let's say, and they brought an asachim with it. The oila ended up becoming possible. If at that time there's another korban that was already shechted, then there's no problem of allowing the asachim to be used for that second korban, because even if people see what's going on, they're not going to realize that the asachim were meant for the original korban. They're going to think, okay, they were to begin with brought with the second korban, because both korbanos are already shechted.
But either way, let's say there's another korban that's shechted, but that other korban that is very shechted has the asachim also with it.
Doesn't necessarily, let's say, the person didn't bring the stachim with it. You don't have to have. We learned before that a person could bring the stachim days later. Yeah. If we have another carbon, that does not happen to have the stachim with it, then you can use these for that. So the question is, so what are you telling me? Then the implication is, if there's no other carbon sitting there right now that was already shechted, then you're going to say that the stachim just have to be left overnight and become possible and become possible by Lina and then you bring them. In that case, Adetoni Sefer, then in that case, why does the Sefer of our Mishnah continue in Lav or in Lonu, you possible by Lina? Then why does it continue if they're left overnight, they should become possible by Lina? The Mishnah should mention that distinction itself. When do we say that you can use it for another korban? Only if the other korban was already shechted at the time. So then in that case, the Mishnah should make that distinction. If the Mishnah didn't make that distinction, it sounds like any time during that day you could use these nesachim for a different korban, regardless of if it was already shechted or not. Only if you left it overnight is it going to become mussel. The answer is no. The answer is hachinami ka'amar. That's exactly what the Mishnah means. But medvar mamurim, when it says im lav or im lonu yipos tabalina, that's exactly what the Mishnah means by implication. When do we mean that you can use the nesachim for another korban? Show you zevach zevuach loyteshah. If there was another korban shechted at that time, avol ein zevach zevuach loyteshah. But if there was no other korban that needed nesachim that was shechted at that time, nafta kamisha nifsu bubalina, then it's effectively the equivalent as here the nesachim became possible by lina and therefore psulin, and therefore they're possible and they have to be burned. So that's what the Mishnah means. When the Mishnah says in lav or in lonu you possible balina, doesn't mean that they were literally left overnight. It means that there's no other korban. Effectively, they've already become possible by lina. Therefore, they have to be burnt like any other possible.
You have another korban available for backup. You can.
Well, unless it was already shechted, that's the thing.
But how long would they have to wait? What would be the amount of time? That was
like this. So we shechted korban A only if korban B was already shechted at that time. Can we repurpose it? If not, then not. So the question is, earlier in the discussion, we were mentioning the concept of lay based in matna lay. We said that if we want to make our Mishnah work like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, we said that requires to say lay based in matna lay, and that based in has in mind that if the nesachim are not needed for one carbon, they can use for a different carbon. And we said that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, about Kol Ha'im Elizar Kizarov Zami. That means his father, Rabbi Shimon, would also have to hold of this concept of lay based in Masna Le'en. So the question is, me is the Rabbi Shimon lay based in Masna Le'en? Are you telling me Rabbi Shimon holds of that concept? Because if he doesn't hold of it, then it doesn't work to explain our Mishnah according to him. Then we would have to say our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe. We would rather say that our Mishnah. If Rabbi Elazar, we would assume that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, unless we know otherwise. Yeah. So, one second. If you have animals that are korban tamid that are not needed by the sefer, the Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad both mention that the situation is, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that you have, like, the, you always had to have at least six sheep in the Lishkat HaPloyim, in the chamber for the sheep over there, available for the Korban Tomit, because you have to be checking them 4 days in advance. Now, every year's Korbanos has to be brought from the Machzor Shekel that runs from Rosh Chodesh Nissan to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The following Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you already need to be using this year's Machzor Shekel. So what happens to the animals that are left over at the end on Kof Tet Adar after you brought the Talmud in the afternoon? You have four animals left over there because you always have to have six in there. So what do you do with those extra ones that the Sibur didn't need? The Divir of Shimon, a Niftin Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, given that those animals are Talmud, you can't be poor to them because according to Rav Shimon, you can only be poor an animal that is, well, in general, the rule is you can only be poor to a Kodshim when they're Bali Mum. And Rav Shimon says the same rule would apply over here. We wouldn't say that there's no Tanai based and there's no Lev based in Masnalayim. Therefore, the usual rule would apply. You can't be poor to them while they're Tamim. Therefore, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to leave them to graze until they develop a mum and then use the money of them to buy other korbanos. Lugivre Chachamim, Nifin Tamim. Whereas according to the Chachamim, no problem. Lev based in Masnalayim in advance, that whatever ones they're not going to use by Chof Tes Adar did not become Kaddish in the first place. Therefore, they didn't have Kedusha. Therefore, they can be poured to them like anything else that has Kedusha done. And then they can rebuy them back from, they're poured to them, then they rebuy them back with this year's money, with this year's Machzor Shekel, and they use them for the Korbanos Tamidim in the next couple of days. So the point is, Rav Shimon doesn't hold of the concept of lay based in Masnalayim.
And the Chachamim do,
fine. But as we said before, we find a world out on Mishnah according to the laws of Rav Shimon.
No, I understand, but we never said so far the Chachamim held by Masnalayim.
Well, we mentioned the concept of lay. We mentioned Rav Yannai says lay based in Masnalayim, but we use that in the discussion of Rav Shimon.
Right.
Okay, so that's the question is on Rav Shimon. No, we weren't talking about that. We were trying to say, does our Mishnah work according to both Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon? To make our Mishnah work according to Rebbe is no problem. To make it work according to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon requires lay based in Masnalayim. But if Reb Elazar Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Shimon, yes. The answer is shiny hossam, yes, but it's different in that case. The Isler Takanta Bereiya, because after all, Rav Shimon might say, okay, there's no lay based in Masnalehen, because after all, there is a Takana. There is an alternative. You can leave these animals to graze so they develop a mum. Whereas in our case over here, if you're going to say that there's no lay based in Masna, then the Sachem are going to be completely possible, and there's nothing that you can do with them. Therefore, he's going to agree that in such a case, lay based in Masnalehen to prevent them from going completely to waste. No, that. What it is Rav Shimon will agree that lay based in Masnalayim when there's no other alternative, when the Chachamim realize that there's no other sort of B'dievet, but what it is when the Chachamim know, and the Chachamim are smart enough to know, that there's no other alternative. If they don't allow the lay based in Masnalayim when it comes to these Mesachim, they're going to be completely possible and they're just going to have to be burnt. So rather than doing that, rather we should do a lay based in Masnalayim in order that we can repurpose them for another program. When it comes to the Kvasim, we don't have to do that, therefore they didn't do that.
We're making Rav Shimon...
We're saying that Rav Shimon is going to say, lay based in Masnalayim is not a blanket statement. Sometimes the Chachamim will find the need to make a tonight. Sometimes they won't. Yes. Yeah.